well. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 28. I'm sorry, I didn't tell you, Lydia. I don't have any slides for the sermon today, so you can just put up a welcome screen. So, unless they need the one from last week again. So, yeah, thank you. Matthew chapter 28 is where we're going to be today. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 16 through 20. We're going to look at a message today entitled The Business of the Church. The Business of the Church. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 16, maybe a very familiar passage to you, it says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word, for the time of worship that we have experienced together thus far. We pray that you would speak to our hearts from your word this morning, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So when I began to think about the business of the church, I realized that there are many in especially America today that might have a variety of ideas come to mind when they think about the business of the church. What is the business of the church? What is our business? What kind of business are we in? And I began to think about terms that we use, phrases like taking care of business or mind your own business, and realizing that the church has something that God has given to the church as the business that they are to be about, the business that they are to take care of. People in God's church need not be primarily concerned with running the church, with making decisions, with managing what they consider to be the business of the church. What many consider to be the business of the church is far removed from the task that God has actually assigned the church. A simple conversation with people involved in local churches often reveal what they think about the church, whether they really get it or not. They often talk about everything except the main thing. They speak about tradition rather than truth. And the conversation centers on, oftentimes, personal preference, emotional attachment, self-recognition or self-empowerment. And all this indicates that many churches have drifted. It's been subtle, but they have drifted. They have experienced what we might call mission drift. To many people, the church has become about management instead of ministry. It's become about maintenance rather than missions. It's become about programs rather than people, style rather than substance, methods rather than the master, bureaucracy rather than the Bible. I want to encourage you this morning, as you are looking forward to God's turning the page here and beginning a new chapter, I want to encourage you, I want to exhort you to avoid at all costs experiencing mission drift. How far do we have to drift before we miss it? Before we miss what God has for us? Have you ever heard of the 1 degree mistake? I know that at least one person in here has, and that's Mr. Pat. He's a pilot, so if I get this wrong, you have to tell me after church, okay? So consider this. If you're going somewhere and you're off course by just 1 degree, after 1 foot, you'll miss your target by 2 inches. Sounds trivial. I mean, you're still somewhere in the area of hitting the target. But what about as you get farther out? After 100 yards, you'll be off by 5.2 feet. Still not a huge miss, but noticeable. After a mile, you'll be off by 92 feet. 1 degree is starting to make a difference. After traveling from San Francisco to LA, you'll be off by 6 miles. If you're trying to get from San Francisco to Washington, D.C., you'd end up on the other side of Baltimore, 42 miles away. Traveling around the globe from Washington, D.C., you'd miss by 435 miles and end up in Boston. 1 degree. In a rocket going to the moon, you'd be 4,169 miles off. 1 degree. That's all it takes. Church, when you're off, even by 1 degree, just a little, you miss the mark God has set for you. And the longer you travel along this journey, the farther away from accomplishing the mission you will be. According to what the Bible says, the business of the church is to make disciples. Not to make disciples and. To make disciples, period. No matter who we are or what our support role might be in the organization of the church, we should primarily be concerned with and burdened about making disciples. We can do other things, and we can do many other things really well and look really good as a church and still miss the mark. And still miss what God, listen, has explicitly told us to do. What is the business of the church? Somebody might say, well, it's to worship God. That's not the business of the church. That's a function of the church. And it's actually a personal responsibility as well, not just on Sundays. So don't get the function of the church confused with the business of the church. The functions of the church should support the business of the church. How important is this really? Well, think about what would have happened had the first disciples not obeyed. When they heard Jesus tell them what the business of the church was, what the business of his followers was to be, if they had not obeyed, where would we be? Because it was pretty well self-contained right there in that area until they began to take care of business. How important is this really? This one activity defines and gives credibility to the organization, to who we claim to be. You see, if a group of people gather under the banner or under the name of church, but do not make disciples, that's false advertising. Churches are made of people. People make disciples. And it's the business of the church to make disciples. How important is it really? It's important enough, get this, that anyone wishing to serve in a local church or anyone wishing to lead in a local church should be actively engaged in disciple making. I would be bold enough to say to you this morning, if local churches would make disciple making a qualification for serving and leading, it would radically change the church, which would radically change the community in which you find yourselves. In our text today, we find Jesus speaking to his disciples prior to his ascension into heaven. Before he leaves. He's there in their presence, and he's about to be taken up into the sky as he will return, the Bible says. And before he leaves, as he's standing with his closest followers, he tells them to take care of business. And he tells them what the business is. And we can easily break this verse down. It's what we call the Great Commission. And here's your four words for today. Go, make, baptize, teach. Go, make, baptize, teach. First of all, when we look at this idea of the Great Commission, explicitly giving us what the business of the church is, we have Jesus saying, go. Therefore, go into all the world. Now, to them, their world was kind of small at the time. Can you imagine how that must have felt, or what they must have thought when Jesus is leaving and he says, now, I'm leaving, but you go into all the world. I mean, he's giving them their marching orders. He is establishing for them really a precedence for a global mission strategy. And it's a global mission strategy that is given to his followers, to his church. Now, this can be a daunting task, a daunting idea, but God expects nothing less from the local church, Church of the Rockies, than to be a world evangelization center. We should know and we should believe that God is going to use Church of the Rockies, and he's going to use your resources, your time, and your talent, not just to make an impact here in Red Lodge, and not just to make an impact in the community, around the county, but all over the country, and to every continent. That's what Jesus is telling the disciples that their business is. It's reiterated for us by Dr. Luke in the gospel, in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, and when he says that you shall receive the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. There's a plan there in place. For Church of the Rockies, it looks like this. Red Lodge or Corbin County would be the Jerusalem. Montana would be the Judea. Samaria would be the United States, and then to the uttermost parts of the world. Church of the Rockies, your business is to make disciples, to share the gospel in around this community, all over the county, throughout the country, and to every continent. There's an important word here that we don't need to miss, because I believe it is not only motivation for the local church, but it is the word that Jesus gives that keeps the church in motion. It's the word go. It keeps the church moving in the direction that it is supposed to go. And so, as we look at the business of the church, it's good for us to be reminded of what our business is, because it's easy for us to think it's something else. It's easy for us to make church about something that it's not, something that really we want more than what God wants. It's really not about what our church can do for us, but what we can do empowered by the Holy Spirit of God as a local body of believers. So go into all the world. Secondly, make disciples. So let's look back there at verse 18. It says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Go into all the world and make disciples. Disciple making is not an option for the local church. And if we're going to make disciples, we have to share the gospel. That's where it begins. Making a disciple begins with evangelism. People have to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ in order to be convicted of their sin and then repent of their sin and turn to Jesus for salvation. And then they've been given new life and they're ready to follow Jesus. And so evangelism has to be a priority when it comes to making disciples. It's very interesting that this term here is used because it gives us the idea that there's some work to be done in the area of helping people become a follower of Jesus. Disciple making begins with the process of evangelism, but it concludes with that person replicating the process. So how do you know when you made a disciple? When that person's making one. When that person has begun to tell people about Jesus and about how glorious it is to follow Jesus and the great benefits of what you gain when you follow Jesus and the peace and the joy. And when they begin to talk about their relationship with Jesus and others begin to say, I want what you have. And they begin to trust in Christ for salvation and they're walking with Jesus. And then they start telling somebody else about how to start walking with Jesus. And that's how it happens. It's a process of multiplication or replication, if you will. Disciple making is the hard work of the church. It's easy to come to church. Sometimes it's easy to give to church. There are things that we do that don't seem to require a lot of discomfort. But when it comes to making disciples, that's more personal and a little more difficult because you have to get involved in other people's lives. You have to be personally involved in another person's life, sharing with them what God has done with you so they can experience it as well. Programs don't make disciples. People make disciples. If disciples are going to be made, you're going to make them. Because you see, you have to be one before you can make one. You can't make one unless you are one. And so you have to grow in your faith and be that faithful follower of Jesus so that you can help others. Your responsibility is to take them along the journey with you. Thirdly, it says to baptize them. Go make and baptize. So go into all the world, make disciples, which is sharing the gospel and helping them to understand who Jesus is so they can begin to follow Jesus, learn from Jesus, sit at the feet of Jesus, and grow as his disciple. And then it says to baptize them. Isn't that interesting? It's interesting because oftentimes I think today that can easily become just the motions that we go through as a church. But in the business of the church, in our orders from headquarters, in the words that Jesus gave us before he ascended into heaven, he said, baptize people. So if the community wants to know why the church makes a big deal about baptism, it's because Jesus said to. And we don't need any other reason or excuse except that Jesus said to. And so baptism is a very significant event in the life of a believer. It may seem insignificant to some, but Jesus himself was baptized. And then we hear him commanding those who trust in him and follow him, those disciples that are being made, to follow him in baptism. And to, as they profess their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, not to be saved, but because they are saved. Baptism is not for salvation, it's because of salvation, because we're wanting to follow after Jesus. This also marked their entrance into the faith community. And so they came to faith in Christ, and they're learning to follow Jesus, and what do they do? Well, they get baptized. They follow his example, and then they continue to grow and learn and walk with the Lord. So you can tell already that I'm digging into a subject here for you. should be very familiar to most of you and to the church. But it's something that the church needs to be reminded of, because it only takes one degree. It only takes one degree to miss it and to make church about something that it is not. Go into all the world, make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, which helps us to understand that even in those days, they had a very good understanding of the theological idea of the Trinitarian God, of the triune God. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded. So the business of the church involves teaching. Teaching what? Teaching what Jesus had said. Teaching about God. And so we have Jesus saying, make sure the things that you've heard from me, you tell others. I'm leaving. But what I've said to you, remember. Not only remember, don't keep it to yourself. Tell it to others. Make sure you're teaching others everything that I have commanded you. This is imperative. I mean, this is absolutely imperative to truly be a part of the disciple-making process. Because to do evangelism without teaching them how to continue to follow Jesus is like having a child without giving them the proper nutrition to grow, without feeding them, without taking care of them. It's like, sometimes churches have been so zealous about evangelism and helping people come to faith in Christ so that they can escape hell and get to heaven, that they forgot to teach them how to walk with Jesus after that. So it's almost like taking somebody out to learn how to swim, and instead of getting in there with them, you just toss them out of the boat. You say, good luck. There's sharks out there too, by the way. And you see baby Christians just flailing their arms, just trying to keep their heads above water. They don't understand what the whole thing's about, and they actually begin to drift away, and they even wonder if they have been saved, because they just have not experienced the presence of God in their life and after that time, that moment when they met Jesus. And so they're lost and they're wandering around because they don't have the knowledge of the truth that's being taught to them. They're not being nurtured in the faith. We have to make sure that when we talk about the business of the church and we look at the Great Commission, that we don't leave any part out. It's all important that we help people come to faith in Christ, that we go to wherever they are. Maybe that's across the road. Maybe that's around the world. Wherever it might be, you need to go. I'm going to tell you this morning that everybody in here needs to go. You need to go. I don't mean to Africa, but you need to go. You need to go to your neighbor. You need to go to your coworker. You need to go to your friend. You need to go to your family. You need to go to your community. You need to go. Not thus saith the preacher. Thus saith Jesus. Jesus said that. Every part of it is important. Go and make disciples. Invest your time, effort, energy into the life of another so that they can experience Christ for themselves. And they too can go to heaven one day, but they can experience what I've heard others call the nowism of the gospel. This is a side note here, but you need to realize, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, as a follower of Jesus, the gospel is not just your entrance into the family and your ticket into heaven one day. It's the power of God in your life to face day after day after day. The power of the gospel to break strongholds. The power of the gospel to heal broken hearts. The power of the gospel to set men and women free from their addiction and their bondages. The power of the gospel to be effective and active in our lives today. That's what that new convert needs to know. That's what that new believer, Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. He wasn't just talking about heaven. He's talking about now. Now, God's got something for you in the future. If you're a believer, God's got something for you in the future. And it's beyond what we can even imagine or fathom. But God's got something for you right now. Right now. His divine power has given us everything that we need. It's what Peter says. Go. Get involved in someone's life, invest your time and effort, baptize them, bring them to the family, right? It's their initiation. It's their symbolic expression of what's happened within them to the rest of the family. And then make sure that we are teaching them. Now, when I was growing up, I thought that meant that I had to be at church on Sunday evening at 6 o'clock sitting in a classroom. That's one way to do it. I'm not going to say that's a wrong way or a bad way, but we would be at church every afternoon in what we call discipleship training. Some of you may remember Training Union. I don't know. The name's been changed a lot. But we would go and we would hear somebody teach a relevant Bible story, and that was good. It was really good. But I want you to know there's more to this idea of teaching than just sitting in a classroom. There's, hey, come go with me. Let's spend a little time together. There's, hey, watch me do this. There's that one-on-one, one-on-two contact where you're investing in someone's life. There is this time when you're just investing your wisdom, your knowledge, your experience with the Lord in someone else. You know, the fact of the matter is, we experience in America, or are experiencing, a real decline among local churches. That's across denominational lines. 85 to 90% is what we're hearing now of local churches are plateaued or declining. They've either stopped growing or they've started dying, which is kind of the same thing, right? So they're just kind of hanging on. Wonder why? We could do all kind of studies, probably, and come up with all kind of conclusions. But I just want to tell you that I think it's because we're not taking care of business. We've made the business of the church something else. And when we do that, we die. We plateau. There was a statistic that came out. It's been several years ago, so it's changed some by now for sure. But there was some research being done in the area of our young people, how our high school students were leaving our churches after high school to go to college. And when they went to college, they left the church. And it was upwards of 85% left the church, never to come back again, not just temporarily. There's a lot of reasons we could probably guess that caused that. But I want to tell you that I believe it's because we're not taking care of business. See where this goes? Not taking care of business has disastrous consequences on the lost people that live around us and the children that grow up under us. When Jesus was a little boy, he went to Jerusalem with his family to celebrate the Passover. And while he was there, he began to talk with some of the priests and the leaders in the temple. After they had celebrated the Passover, his family, which was sort of a caravan, they were leaving, and the Bible says they were about a day's journey away. When Mary and Joseph realized, Jesus is not here with us. Don't think ill of the parents. It was a caravan. There were cousins. There were people around. It wasn't that they were neglectful. But they realized about a day's journey away, he's not there. And so they begin to go back. They're anxious about where he is. And they go all the way back to Jerusalem. They find him in the temple. And they question him about what he's doing. And here's his words. Basically, he says, why are you worrying about these things? Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? We too must be about the Father's business. Listen, if it's not the Father's business, it's not ours. If it's not the Father's business, we have no business. That's the business of the church. Jesus made it clear in his day that he and the Father are one. That what he said, the Father said. That what he did, the Father did. If you hear the Son, you hear the Father. If you obey the Son, you obey the Father. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 43, it records these words. But he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. The business of the church is none other than the business of Jesus. If the church, the local church, is in any other business than the Jesus business, it needs to get out. We are told in Scripture to tend to the business of the King. What more important business is there for us to engage in? To make sure we're handling the business of the King of glory, the King of heaven, the King who is above all kings. This is our business. And by the way, it's not anybody else's. He didn't give it to anybody else. As much as I appreciate what parachurch ministries do, he didn't give it to the parachurch ministry, he gave it to the church. He gave it to the local church. The sad reality is that many churches today are missing the point entirely. They have maybe they began missing it simply by one degree. And after all these years, they are way off course. Or maybe when they began, they didn't have the right foundation and they started more than one degree off target. Whatever the case may be, the church, the local church, has a responsibility to make sure that it handles the business of the church. People in Red Lodge, Montana, and people in Carbon County, and people throughout Montana, let's just stop there. It goes further, but let's just stop there for a moment. Their lives should be transformed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ because we are right here. Because the church is here. Strongholds should be broken, marriages should be repaired, children should grow up to know Jesus. This church should be taking care of business so that disciples are being made. You know, a brick building with a steeple, cushioned pews, stained glass windows, they don't make people a church any more than a mouse in a cookie jar is a cookie. We can have all the trappings. We can have all of the things that look good and still miss the mark. We should spend our time and our energy making disciples. You know, our vision statement, our mission statement is based on these principles. One church gathering people so they may know Christ, go with Christ, and grow in Christ. Even in some of our supporting documents, we've written down our goal is to make as many people as much like Jesus in the shortest time possible. We cannot afford to drift, not even a little. And the reason we can't afford to drift, not even a little, is because souls are at stake. Our business is eternal business. It's not just temporary. And we have the opportunity to make a difference in the lives of others, the likes of which no other organization has the ability to do. Let me conclude with verse 20. After he says, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, he says, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. This business that we're talking about, the business of church, the business that is the business of Jesus, it comes with great authority and with great promise. When we take up the mantle and we begin to march forward with the gospel, we do so under the authority of Jesus Christ. He said, all authority has been given to me. All authority in heaven and on earth. Now, you go. All authority. Now, you go. I have all the authority, Jesus says. I have all of the authority. All of the authority. You have none. And no one else has any authority over this. I have all of the authority in heaven above and on earth. Now, go. Go. Make disciples. So it comes with great authority. But it also comes with a great promise of the presence of Jesus. You go, but I'm going to be with you. You don't have to do this on your own. You don't have to do this in your own strength. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you even to the end of the age. It's an exciting day where we can come to the realization that the local church has been given the authority from God Himself and the presence and the power of God to accomplish the mission of God, and we get to be a part of it. You know, that's why we can say with great confidence here today, we can take care of business. It's not a matter of whether or not we can. It's a matter of whether or not you will take care of business. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the great challenge that we have from Scripture. Understanding what church is really all about and what it is not really all about. Helping us to see clearly the business of the church. And God, I know that here today there are people who have not been on the journey for very long. They themselves are very intimidated by this idea of making disciples, and it's because they're growing themselves. They're learning, Lord. And yet, we want them to be encouraged to know that they are able to make a difference and have an influence in someone's life too. No matter where we are on the journey, you want to use us in the life of someone else. And so right now, as we close our time in prayer, I pray that you'll begin to put people on others' hearts and minds. That you will bring names. A family. Friends. Co-workers. Acquaintances. Someone, Lord. Would you put them on our hearts and on our minds? And then remind us that we're able to walk into their lives with the sweet, precious authority that you've given us, and with your presence and your power to see their lives transformed for all eternity. And God, help us. God, help us not to ever be off even one degree. but to embrace fully the command that we have to make disciples. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.